I'd just like to introduce Corinne to you. She's come from Buckhurst Hill, where she is an associate minister in the church there. And she will explain to you in a moment her involvement in this 15 minutes of fame that that we've called it. And so I won't sort of say more about that now. Some of you, I think, know a little bit about her story, and some of you probably don't know very much at all. But it is lovely to have you, Corinne.
Thank you.
We are glad that she's come. I think you've got family in the area, haven't you?
Not too far away in Basingstoke.
Basingstoke, right. So she hasn't come too far today. So without more ado, I'm just going to hand over now to Corinne and leave her to explain the rest. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Jill.
Morning, everyone. If my eyes look slightly bloodshot, it's not because I'm overcome with emotion for being in Maidenhead this morning. I had some problems with my contact lenses earlier, so hopefully that'll explain that. Well, 15 minutes of fame is what they've called it this morning. I suppose one of the other titles I might give it is Things That They Never Prepare You For at Theological College. And over the years, I've built up a number of things on that list, as it were. And I could certainly add doing a celebrity funeral to the list. 50 minutes of fame, I guess for me it was more like 4 weeks as I found myself, first of all, baptising Jade Goody and her boys, and then 4 weeks later, burying her and speaking at her funeral. However, for me, the involvement with Jade Goody, both myself and the church that I go to, it was far more than just the story of a celebrity funeral. It's the story of God at work in the life of maybe somebody to many of us who is an unlikely individual, but also a story of how God worked through a very human tragedy, I think, to do something quite unexpected. It started for me one Monday morning back in February 2009. I only watch breakfast TV one morning of the year, and that's the morning after the Oscars, as I'm a bit of a film fan. And anyway, that morning I'd been watching it, and in the middle of the Oscars coverage, there was a report on Jade Goody. She'd been married the day before, and in the report, Max Clifford spoke about Jade wanting her children to be baptised so that, quote, her boys could get to know Jesus. Now, I've never been particularly into celebrity culture, to put it mildly, and I hadn't really followed Jade's story very closely, though had obviously been aware of her fight against cancer. But when Max Clifford spoke about Jade wanting the boys to know Jesus, I remember sitting up and surprised at her speaking in those sort of terms. And I remember thinking, maybe there's more to this than I thought. And it was on that morning that I somewhat belatedly started praying for Jade. 3 days later, I returned home from an evening out to find two messages on my answer phone. The second one was from Jade Goody's agent, leaving a number and asking me to call him. It was one of those moments where you just kind of stare hard at the answer phone, hit the replay button, and wonder if you're still in the real world. It was the first of, I guess, quite a number of very surreal experiences. When I finally spoke to Jade's agent the following morning, I found out that she wanted the baptism that I'd heard her speak about to be at our church. Her husband, Jack Tweed, came from Buckhurst Hill, and apparently she knew and she liked our church, St John's, and it's probably one of the largest churches in the area. A date was fixed for the baptism on Saturday, the 8th, Saturday, 8 days later. But what I hadn't actually realised at that point was that Jade wanted to be baptised herself as well. Now, normally if I'm baptising adults or children, I spend time explaining what's involved, as it's an important step that's based on faith in Jesus. But in cases such as Jade's, you have to respond to the urgent need without necessarily having the same opportunities to explain what baptism and what following Jesus is all about. And that slightly strange day that started with talking to her agent also involved three phone conversations with the deputy editor of OK magazine, increasing the sense of the surreal. And on that morning, at some point, there was a little question that surfaced unbidden in my mind, accompanied by a certain sense of trepidation. Does this mean that they're going to want to do the funeral when it comes at our church too? However, on the days that followed her wedding, Jade's health deteriorated and she was admitted to the Royal Marsden Hospital. And it soon became clear that she was not going to be well enough to go ahead with the baptism at St John's. Another phone call changed things again, as they wanted me to go and do the baptism at the Royal Marsden the following day. It was a very strange feeling going over on the tube early on the Saturday morning to the Marsden. And by the time I got to the hospital, there was a barrage of press reporters at the gates. I went through incognito, because even though nobody knew who was doing the baptism, I realised that walking in with a dog collar on wasn't probably going to be a good idea, so it was a scarf around the neck. When I arrived, it looked unlikely at that stage that Jade was actually going to be able to make it down to the hospital chapel. But she did actually rally and mustered enough strength for the short service there. It was a short and simple service, maybe only 15 minutes or so. But I actually found it incredibly moving. And I just was able to speak very briefly at the service from a verse in the New Testament that talks about nothing being able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. It was a very emotional time for many of those who were there, because a lot of the visitors to the small chapel knew that it was probably the last time that they were going to see Jade alive. And thankfully, the photographers from the OK magazine were wonderfully unobtrusive as well. And that service, and just a few minutes that I spent afterwards with her in her room, was the only opportunity I actually had to meet Jade. I knew that she'd spoken about Jesus, and I knew also from the press reports that she'd been reading the Bible. But beyond that, I really didn't know anything about her understanding of the Christian faith and about what it means. However, over the 4 weeks that followed, it felt as if pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fell into place that left me convinced that Jade had actually come to a genuine faith in Jesus. Late on, yes, but not too late. But more of that shortly. Meanwhile, I got thrust into the world of the media. I'd been intending to just go out of the hospital the same way that I'd come in, but one of the Marsden chaplains just said to me after the service, "They'll know who you are by now." So I was taken out through a tradesman's entrance at the back onto a side street, well away from the press. However, 5 minutes after getting home, the doorbell rang with a photographer from the Daily Star wanting a picture. And there were also two phone calls a little later, one from the News of the World, one from the Mirror, I think. And it was then that the process of learning how to deal with the press, mostly the hard way, it has to be said, started. About a week later, reports started coming out on the internet about plans being made by Jade for her funeral, and about it being at our church, St John's. Not that we'd been told anything at that point. Jade's health, however, continued to deteriorate, and there was much press speculation as to whether she would actually make it to Mother's Day. And as that weekend approached, which was only actually 2 weeks after her baptism, I was phoned by both Radio Essex and by the BBC Radio 4 Sunday programme, asking whether I'd be willing to be interviewed should anything happen over the weekend. I listened to the 7 o'clock news in the morning on Mothering Sunday. There was nothing about Jade, so I switched the radio off. Phone went, however, 10 minutes later, and it was the Radio 4 Sunday programme, and the news had just broken that Jade had died that morning. And I found that I was actually very moved by the news. I guess even the small amount of contact that I'd had with her just made it seem far more real and immediate. And it was, after all, the death of a young mum and a new wife. By 9:30 that morning, we had a Sky News film crew at the church, and it was the start of 2 weeks of fairly incessant involvement with the media. But I think it was also when we began to see the providence of a God who knows what lies ahead. We'd had a new AV system installed in our church with screens and projector that we used for the funeral. A friend of the church who works for the BBC had put in some stunning new lighting only 3 months earlier. We'd also just brought our website up to date, up to a proper level of functioning, really. And we learned afterwards that I think we had about 10,000 hits on our website in just that month. And to cap it all, the guy on our church sound desk just happens to be a very experienced BBC sound engineer. On the day that Jade died, we saw on the news that her house, which was only about 5 miles away from us in Buckhurst Hill, was being overwhelmed with a huge number of flowers and floral tributes. And it was at that point that we had the idea, none of us are quite sure who had the idea, but one of us did, of actually just offering the family the opportunity to have some books of condolence at the church and giving the opportunity for people to actually leave flowers there as well if they wanted. And the family said yes to this. And as a result, over about a 2.5 week period, we saw somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 people come through the doors of the church. And the thing that struck me so forcibly about those who came was that everything was so quiet and dignified and respectful and actually genuine as well. There were all ages of ordinary, down-to-earth people there for whom Jade had meant something. One afternoon I spent in the church just talking to the people who had come along. And I met, for example, a couple of women who had driven over from South Wales just to be there and sign the books. One of them had inoperable cervical cancer. Another family had come down from Lancashire. And other members of the church, manning the church, had similar conversations with people, not to mention opportunities to pray with people, many of whom had had their own bereavements. And it was lovely to be able to be there with them, to serve refreshments, particularly appreciated by so many who'd come such distances, and just to make them feel welcome. But to return to the question of Jade's faith, the Thursday after she died, my boss and I went to Jade's house to do the funeral visit. And during the course of the evening, it came up again that Jade had read her Bible. And we were told that she'd actually underlined some verses in the Bible and had some little post-it notes in it. And I asked whether it was possible to see her Bible, wondering what it was that she had underlined there. And her little Good News Bible was brought out. And I found a few single verses here and there that had been underlined. But then I found a post-it note on it, a post-it note in it, with just two things written on it, which were Isaiah 53, the name of a book of the Bible and a chapter number. I also knew that that book of the Bible, Isaiah, was written around 700 years before Jesus. And that particular chapter speaks incredibly clearly of his death for us and what it means. And I turned to that chapter in Jade's Bible, and for me it was one of the most awesome moments of the whole experience, because most of that chapter was underlined, including these words: because of our sins he was wounded, beaten because of the evil we did. We are healed by the punishment he suffered, made whole by the blows he received. All of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going his own way. But the Lord made the punishment fall on him, the punishment all of us deserved. And I knew that if Jade had read those words and had taken them to heart, then that meant that she had understood what lay at the heart of the Christian message, that Jesus suffered and died for all the rubbish in our lives, that we might find peace with God. And that goes for any and every person who reaches out to Jesus, whoever they are. And I think seeing those verses underlined in her Bible gave me confidence to believe that Jade understood what those verses meant and had put her faith in Jesus. And I was also, I suppose, personally helped by another part of the Easter story, which tells of how one of those who was crucified with Jesus turned to him right at the end and asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said to him some incredible words, spoken on the cross: "Today you will be with me in paradise." And here was a story in the Bible of somebody who had, I guess, well, didn't have a huge understanding of Jesus, maybe knew very little about him and who he was, and yet understood enough to know that Jesus was different and that Jesus could make an eternal a difference to his eternal destiny, even so close to death. And it's a story that also reminds all of us that it's never too late to turn to Jesus. The funeral was set for midday on Saturday the 4th of April, and it was decided that my boss would lead the service and I would speak at it. By 9 a.m. on the day, the crowds had started to gather outside, together with press vans that were parked all over the place, some of them from different countries and with satellite dishes. Two large outdoor video screens and a sound system had also gone up earlier in the morning. And about 40 minutes before the service, I went to stand near the doors of the church as the guests were arriving, but staying out of sight of all the cameras that are outside the entrance of the church. Fortunately, I never actually looked at these guys, looked even towards them. I think it was probably just as well I didn't see how many of them there were there. And in my typical fashion, being oblivious to the world of celebrity, I actually didn't recognise quite a few of those who came, and I even managed not to spot Davina McCall when she came in. It turned out actually to be a beautiful, clear and sunny day, and we could tell that the cortege was getting near when the Sky News helicopter and two other light aircraft came close and started circling overhead. And then we heard the cameras in the press pen began starting to click continuously, and we knew that the bearers were bringing the coffin through the gates and towards the church door. And I actually found it very moving to see the large white coffin covered with lilies being carried by people who had actually become familiar to all of us in church. And I guess it was a reminder, fresh reminder, that it was the funeral of a young mum. The church was full with about 350 people, and with 2,000 to 3,000 people outside watching on the screens. And thankfully, I had no idea at the time that the audio feed from the church and the pictures from outside were going out live on Sky News. It was a couple of days later when I suddenly realised that probably in the 8 minutes or so that I'd given the talk, I probably spoke to more people than I will do in the rest of my ministry put together. As I said, probably just as well I didn't realise that at the time. I don't think I'd ever had such a strong sense of a talk, if you like, being given to me as I prepared it beforehand. And it was good to be able to link what I was saying to Jade's own experience, her not being afraid to use the name of Jesus as something other than a swear word, her being baptized as a sign of her faith in Jesus, her reading the Bible and finding comfort in it, particularly, I was told, in Luke's Gospel, with its particular focus on Jesus spending time with the unlikely. And of course, those verses from Isaiah 53, even more relevant, as by that stage it was the week before Easter. There is so much more that could be said. I was saying over breakfast that actually when I related it, the whole story to somebody a little while back, it took me 2 hours. So I would just finish by saying this. I think for me, the most amazing thing in it all was to see again how God could intervene in the life of one person. Somebody that I guess none of us would think of as being particularly religious. But then the Christian faith isn't about being religious. It's not about rules or regulations or a philosophy, but about a living person, Jesus Christ, who can transform the lives of any of us, bringing comfort and strength in the midst of life's traumas, and bringing peace and hope for eternity in the face of death. And it's my firm belief that just as he did that for Jade Goody, so he can do it for any of us, if we will, like she did, just reach out to him. Thank you.